Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's open today's lesson with a word of prayer. Amen. So that we can put on the full armor of God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your mighty armor, Lord, you have provided for us. We'll put on your full armor, Father God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the sandal of peace, and the shield of faith, which protects and guards all of us from the fiery darts of the enemy. And we pick up the sword of the Spirit, Father God, the word of God that we choose to use against all the forces of evil in our lives. We place on our feet the sandals of peace of the Lord Jesus Christ of the kingdom of God. And we ask you, Lord, according to John 14:13-14, to be our guard and our shield about us. Take us into the cleft of the rock and underneath your mighty wings, according to Psalms 91. You put your armor on us, Father God, and live and pray in complete dependence upon you, and pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Blessed Heavenly Father, to God be the glory, and we say amen and amen. Welcome, saints. Welcome, prophets of God. Whether you're a saint, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, I'd like to welcome you to the introduction of the Prophet's Cave. Now, just briefly, because I've only aired this for 30 minutes, what we will be discussing mostly is about the prophetic. While there are other topics that we can discuss, I like to keep it on the prophetic because the prophet, the apostle and the prophet are foundational ministries to the entirety of the Christian church. And we seem to have gotten away from the importance of the prophet, prophetics, and the prophetic word. And one of the things that my heart desires for the people of God to do is for them to begin to learn the depth of who they are. Now, most of the individuals that more than likely I'll be communicating with and I'll be speaking to at this time are people who are more than likely desiring to find out whether or not that is their gifting. They want to find out what does it take to walk in that gifting, what type of training they could possibly have, and or who can train them, who's equipped to be able to handle the magnetism that comes with that prophetic gifting. Well, I'm here to explain that. Right? My name is Dr. Derek Henderson. Amen. And I don't want to receive any accolades. What I will put on the program today is I am an affirmed apostle, a consecrated bishop. Okay, and a doctorate, also a prophet, first and foremost. My gifting in its immediate was that of a prophet. And God just moved me, not promoted me. It was what I was from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the world before I was born in my mother's womb. And he just moved me so that I could fulfill other actions to help the people in the body of Christ. Amen? So I want to start off this segment with one simple question that everyone will ask in the very beginning of a class. Right? What exactly is, in the simplest of terms, a prophet is a divine functionary who serves as the spokesman for a deity. Now, I generalize this because I want you to understand that there are prophets in other religions, because Muhammad was considered a prophet, okay? And so is individuals such as Gandhi, as the Krishnas. different heads of other religions, they have their prophets. So the basic of what it is that that particular individual is a mouthpiece, okay, but a divine mouthpiece, a functionary, someone who functions and serves as the mouthpiece of and for a deity. Now, when we begin to break that particular thing down, what we begin to see is that in the Christian church, in the Christian community, we have prophets that are the divine functionary of God in reference to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And that particular individual has been chosen, has been called, has been chosen, and has been sent out with a divine message that is to be given to a specific group of individuals so that they can receive the message from God, which we'll get into different aspects. Like some people were saying, well, don't we all hear from God? And we'll delve into that a little bit later as we continue to go through the lesson. But I want to clarify also that there are also prophets and prophetesses. Now, once again, the prophetess is also a divine functionary that speaks on behalf of the deity. Okay? But just even more so, a prophetess is a female prophet. Okay? A prophetess, that terminology and that particular calling and gift dates back as far as the institution itself, okay? And it was ascribed powers and the authority and competence of the prophets themselves. So there's really actually no difference except for the gender of the individual. And the Bible names a few of them. The Bible names Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Anna, and Philip's daughters, you know, as God's prophetesses. And then you have Jezebel and Nodiah, and they are mentioned as false prophets. Okay? False prophetesses, I mean. So both Miriam and Deborah doubled as secular rulers as well. So we would have to look into Judges for Deborah, referring to Micah 6:4 for the extent of the authority that Miriam had, even though she simply called prophetess in Exodus 15:20. Now, the word for sent, as used in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 4, to describe the dispatch of Moses and his siblings, it's frequently used throughout the designate one's commission as an apostle, which in the Old Testament would be considered a Sheliach. And we'll go over some of those things. Okay, so we have the prophet and the prophetess, functionaries of the Most High God as mouthpieces and spokesmen and spokesperson, let's call it what it is, that will speak for God. So when we delve further into what the prophet is a commissioned, gifted individual, or the gift itself. Now, I just want to clarify something to individuals who have seen my posts on Facebook, who have read some of the things that I have written. I don't subscribe to offices. There's nowhere in the Bible that states that any of the fivefold ministry that is listed in the Ephesians of these gifts as being offices, and every single preacher that I've come across and relegated them to the terminology of office, which what it does is it takes away the sweeping powers of the office, and it puts them into, in actuality, a place that can be removed. The Word of God states that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable or without repentance, whichever way you want to read it, New King James Version or King James Version. And those particular gifts, I believe, are foundation from the moment you are born, because that's what God has called you. God does not wake up one day. God does not sit around in the throne and say, you know what, I'm going to make Joan a prophet, and she's a prophet. Since God knows the ending from the beginning, everything that he has done, hear me, prophets, everything he has done has already been done already. I just went back and forth in that sentence. What he has already done has already been done from the beginning, which means he's not making anything up as he goes along there. It's already done. The work is finished. So you and I, who we are, what we have become, has already been, even though man desires to move along his own path, this destiny that we all set. You say we have free will. We do have free will within the realm of us not knowing everything. Remember, prophets prophesy in part and know in part. We don't know the whole entirety of a thing, nor is it our business. Because even Jesus did not know the entirety of a thing. So understand that though we have free will, God has already seen every single interaction in its most infinitesimal or its most magnanimous scale in the human intellect, and we still can't figure it out. So your gifting as a prophet, or your gifting, apostle, or your gifting as an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, that gifting has already been decided. So now, if you have been called and chosen, you have also been gifted. And being gifted means you had that gift prior to you getting here. When in the corporate world, they say things like this: leaders are made. You can make someone who was never a leader into a leader, because you can teach them and train them and give them the tools that are necessary for them to lead other people if they follow a blueprint. It's been hard for prophets and apostles because the blueprint has been the Bible, and then the Bible has been taken out of context, and until the correct exegete of Scripture is put into place, a lot of individuals had subscribed the prophet to being Old Testament simply, and that was it. It was done. There were no more of these gifts. There were no more of these callings. There were no more of these so-called offices, which is not what God had desired. So the prophet, being second in the ecclesia, or in the called out as far as the church was concerned, because first were apostles. Okay, because they were a foundation. These were listed in the way that they were listed, not because one had more authority over one another. It was because God had to choose to release them in different dispensations so as to get his church built and prepared for this coming onslaught that we are going through now and will continue to go through. Do you understand? So, apostles first, prophets second. But prophets have been here all the way from the beginning of the Bible. The apostolic mantles did not fall until in the New Testament, or right before the New Testament began, because John the Baptist was a type of apostle. He was a forerunner to Christ, laying foundation for the apostle, the prophet, to come along. Amen? So, once again, going from the prophet to the prophetess, there are other things that are also involved. So, the prophet themselves are key ranking members in God's kingdom. Now, years and years ago, in ministry, one of the things that I found an abundance of individuals that were calling themselves prophet. This is when the prophetic sensation had come along. We're talking about the 80s here. And everybody wanted to be a prophet, and everybody thought they had an idea of what prophets did. And the only two things that these people that popped up out of nowhere being prophets did was foretell and foretell. They did not use discretion in their so-called prophetic words. They did not have training as to what to divulge and what to keep back. Everyone that was a prophet would blurt it out and say, "Thus saith the Lord," which is not necessarily a "thus saith the Lord" thing anyway. So I began to learn that every prophet that spoke was not really a prophet, but the ability that man has to speak, because we're saints of God and we are a prophetic people. And this is what a lot of people fail to realize. In the Bible, it says in Joel 2:28, I believe it is. In the Bible, it says, "In the last days, I will pour out Amos 3. Well, let's look at Amos 3:7 before we look at Joel 2:28. Okay, Amos 3 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." In Joel 2:28, it says, "In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Okay, so we are a prophetic people, meaning that people, Christians alone, I'm speaking about, because of where we are, everyone has the ability to prophesy. Now, the basis of prophecy is edification, exhortment, comfort, the basis of it. So we have the ability to move prophetically in that particular realm of the gifting. But not everyone has the ability and or is equipped with the correct equipment and tools to be able to prophesy in the realm of the gifted individual who has been born as the gift of the prophet. So you can have an individual who is more in tune with what God is saying in their prayer life, and God can give them dreams and give them visions because they are faithful in their walk with God. And they may be that close, but they may not be a prophet. Declarative words from the prophetic mantle are words that can root up, tear down, give life, take it away. It can rip down kingdoms. It can sharply make and shape and mold people, their actions and things. There's many people in the world that, and I'm quite sure most of us have run into them, are people who have, you could say, they could say some things, and man, they could hurt your feelings. And then there's some people that could say the same thing that that individual has said, and it will just roll right off your back. Why is it that that individual talking to you could break you down and you don't know them any more than the other individual? It is because some people have the ability to go in to the spirit and cut you. But then likely that person doesn't realize that they have the gift, not just a gift. So there's a depth of understanding that needs to come with the individual as to being a prophet. Now, all prophets don't want to be called prophets. All individuals who desire to be, to walk in that realm, don't desire for anyone to know who they are. If they do, sometimes they will call themselves prophets. But people who are truly working in God and doing the things of God, they don't need to bear a title. They don't need to be called anything. What will happen is those individuals themselves will just understand that what they do and what they say, how they do it and how they say it, will be the very thing proves who they are. Self-proclaimed prophets, 9 times out of 10, are not prophets, because somebody may have inadvertently in church seen them utilize what is called the basics of prophecy, and because it felt good, it sounded good, and the person was happy, or they went through a gamut of emotions, called them a prophet. And then the individual got the idea that that's what they were. And that is mistaken identity. That type of thing has happened a lot in the charismatic, in the word churches, in the Pentecostal churches, where people who do not have the gift, and then they carry that with them until their ministries all fall to naught, or until it is discovered by them through someone else that this is not your gifting, that you're more gifted in this particular area. Now, next week when we speak, I will be speaking about the next topic that will definitely grab your attention. I want to speak about those individuals, and I want to keep it in the Bible for now. I don't want to speak about the contemporary prophet, the modern-day contemporary prophet. I want to go back to the Bible. Okay, so next week when we speak, we'll be speaking about the prophets of the Bible. How did God come about using these prophets, and why were the prophets and the prophetics that were utilized at the time so very important to the shaping and the molding of God's people and this modern-day church that Jesus came to set up and establish? What were the key functions and the functionaries? What were the roles that were precisely and directly connected to why Jesus is coming as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, but the prophet himself, the prophet, not just the prophet, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How come that shift and change changed and rippled through time what the church would become and how things set up, how that would be? What we'll be discussing that next week, because I truly believe that as we move forward in this thing, that the more that you know, the less mistakes will be made when it comes down to defeating the enemy, because the enemy loves prophets. Because one misspoken word, one misstep, allows the enemy to come in like a flood. Now, we know that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, but one mistake, one misstep, the enemy can come in. And he tries to come in like a flood, but it's like a flood that the Spirit will raise up a standard against him. What we have to recognize is that the more careful we are with utilizing the terminology, God said, I hear God saying, I feel God saying, the Lord God is leading me. As we put things on God and then they don't come to pass, God never looks foolish. The prophet who spoke presumptuously did not speak in his name. This is what the word says. Because the mistakes that man makes is not the mistakes of God. God does not attribute. God uses the gift. Sometimes man cannot filter out all of the junk that's inside of him before he tries to go forth to prophesy, which then, if the words fall on deaf ears and unbroken ground, follow ground, then becomes lies. Therefore, prophesize. So we have to be very careful with this gift. It is a very powerful, very resolute gift. and those that are considered prophets must come to a place of understanding that your relationship with God has to be absolute. You must believe in the totality of the Bible, the total inerrant word of God. You must believe that he is. You also must believe, if you are called to be one of his prophets and you are this gift, that there are signs, wonders, and miracles. Prophecy is part of not only a sign and a wonder, but also a miracle. Because your spoken words can bring someone to salvation. And salvation in itself, just in faith, is a miracle. So I want everyone to understand, and tonight's assignment is to go and look up the prophets of the Bible. Not only the men, but look up the females. Look up the women. And ask yourself, why was this prophet here? Why prophets do what they did? Why did God send them at the time that he sent them? That is the assignment for this evening until next week. Amen. So I want to thank everyone for joining me this evening. I want to say God bless you all. And may the Lord keep you, may he shine his face upon you. And I pray that week after week, that as we continue to learn together and we're going through these lessons together, that to hold these lessons dear at heart, and that God will continue to bless us so that we can be benefited by his word. Amen. So, prophets, let us pray. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to you on one accord in the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, according to your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will quicken us to hear our Heavenly Father's voice and lead us in prayer always. Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal to us any unconfessed sins that we have in our hearts at any time. And Heavenly Father, we bow and worship before you. We come to you with praise and with thanksgiving. We come to you in humility. We come to you in fear, and we come to you in trembling and seeking truth. We come to you in gratitude and love, your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we all say, amen. So, people of God, saints of God, prophets of God, I thank you for joining me this evening, and I hope to see you next week on the Prophet's Cave. I'm your host, Dr. Derek Henderson, and you all have a blessed evening, and I leave you with grace and peace and a prophet's reward.
You bring the gift to heart moves.